Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Happy May, everybody. Steve Cochran Show, Wednesday, May 1st, 6:11 on 720 WGN. Dave Bennett, Mary Sandberg Boyle alongside Super Joe, Mike Heineman on the other side of the glass, Steve Grzanich in the newsroom, Mary Vandeveld.
Rabbit.
Everybody dry, relatively. Say on dry land so far.
It's not kind of, my basement.
No.
Did you get water, Mayor?
Oh, I always get water.
Are there rabbits floating in your
getting
basement?
Yeah, I'm about to.
I checked this morning and we didn't have any yet, but it's on the verge, I can tell.
I heard it dripping down the drain. I went, oh, it's been bad for
there's a lot of people are going to be waking up to that this morning. I mean, this is just one of those, and we usually get one of these once a year,
yeah.
Maybe twice a year, where it just doesn't stop.
Yeah, it's been like, what, 3 days now, or is it 4?
Yeah, and that's not counting the snow on Saturday.
Right. Oh, that's right.
And I heard the Water Reclamation District guy on Vic Vaughn's news say, hey,
don't shower
and do laundry until the levels go down. I'm like, that, you can't do that.
Yeah. I mean, I can see laundry, but we have to shower.
I can't see laundry, Mayor. Laundry has to be done.
Oh, come on.
You know, in the old days, we didn't shower or do our laundry when it rained, right? Let's get to the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Don't get
your kicks. With the top 666, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson Tuesday announced more than a dozen changes to his command staff as the department prepares for the summer months when violence typically peaks. Shakeup comes a day after the superintendent met with the mayor-elect Lori Lightfoot, as well as other key figures in Cook County and federal law enforcement. I believe the mayor is going to be with us tomorrow. Is that correct?
Mayor-elect is
going to
be with us
tomorrow. The mayor-elect is going to be with us tomorrow, yes.
Yep.
And the first deputy superintendent will be in studio this morning with us at 7:40.
Can I just add something to this? I'm kind of reading between the lines on this too, guys, but it really is looking like perhaps Eddie Johnson is planning to stick around at least for the first couple of months of the new mayor's term, right?
That's what I thought.
It's kind of looking like he's planning to be there for a while.
Yeah, because if he wasn't, that he wouldn't be in any joint,
part of the transition.
Part of the transition. Right. Yeah.
And making other command changes below him as well. So.
Is that typical, Steve?
It's typical for the new mayor to hire a new superintendent,
right?
To replace that person,
but for the incumbent superintendent to at least stick around for an extended period,
It's possible that maybe he's giving Lori Lightfoot time to find somebody
exactly.
new and kind of help ease the transition. But it's going to be interesting to watch.
Okay, we quacked too soon. Let's try again. Illinois Senate Democrats proposed tweaks to the graduated rate income tax plan. That's the cornerstone of Governor Pritzker's agenda for the spring legislative session, increasing the top rate for the wealthiest taxpayers while dangling a potential freeze on school district property taxes. Hundreds of Homewood Flossmoor High School students walked out just after noon Tuesday to protest the school's handling of an incident involving white students wearing blackface. The energized students, joined by dozens of parents and activists, had signs. They chanted for justice in what many said was their first act of civil disobedience. The primary complaint aired by the protesters is what they considered the school's failure to be transparent and fair in disciplining the four white students who went into the community with their faces painted black and broadcast their exploits, including a trip to McDonald's on social media. Just sickening stuff. And
that is sickening. And I'm so impressed with young people that, had a they weren't unruly or anything.
Not at all. But they made their feelings known, mm-hmm. and the parents did too,
yeah.
And rightly so. A British court sentenced Julian Assange, the WikiLeaks founder, to 50 weeks in jail for jumping bail when he took refuge in Ecuador's embassy in London 7 years ago.
And the interesting part about this story is that this means he's going to be behind bars safely while everybody decides who's going to get him. So if the U- is he going to come to the, be extradited to the United States? Is he going to be extradited to Sweden? This gives authorities plenty of time to have that conversation now.
Are they setting odds on this, Steve?
You know, I don't know, but I would, if I were, if I
you
were
mean
betting,
in Vegas?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's a good question.
Well, you can bet on anything, right?
If I were a betting man, I'd say the United States is going to get him first.
But, and who makes that decision?
That would be, I guess, up to a London, the officials in London, right? In the UK, mm-hmm. a court there would probably decide where he would go first, even though probably he's wanted for that rape allegation. I think, is it Switzerland or is
yeah.
it? They might get first crack at it just simply because that was that predated the United States case here, which is a, we think it's a sealed indictment, and he's already been charged with one count of sort of hacking. There's a question about whether espionage charges are going to be forthcoming as well.
I love that word, espionage.
It's like a game of Red Rover. Right. Red Rover, send Julian over.
Right, exactly.
Nice story involving the newly crowned Masters champion, Tiger Woods, saluting a couple of Southside students for golf and academic achievement. The students from Mount Carmel, Abdul Raoul, and Tim Arrington from Kenwood Academy. In a ceremony held at Jackson Park last night, organizers read a letter from Tiger saying, quote, "You could not ask for two better representatives of this community." Of course, Tiger Woods has been involved in plans to redevelop golf on the south side of Jackson Park.
Yeah, both of these guys are good, excellent academically and good golfers. And I think that Tim Arrington is he got an Evans scholarship, and then Raul, he got a Division I golf scholarship, so
pretty good. Impressive. Very impressive.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, he's just continues for James Holzhauser, the Jeopardy champ, the Naperville native, proud son of Naperville North. Correct, Super Joe?
Yep. How about them dogs?
Won again on Jeopardy yesterday, and he is closing in on $1.5 million. I think it wasn't quite as close yesterday as it was the day before.
Right. What did he win by? $18
the day before.
Yeah, that was a close one.
The what's the record again? Who's the guy that?
Ken Jennings.
It's two, isn't it?
It's over 2 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, but he did that over an extended period, over a longer period. What did he win? Some 70 some, I think.
Oh, really?
And yeah, I mean, his actual streak, I think, was longer.
Okay.
Of games won.
Yeah, because this guy's got a much higher average.
This because he goes big on the money on Double Jeopardy
and
Final Jeopardy. Yeah, he's a professional gambler. That is your Top 6 at 6, brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling.
No more! Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
So I hear that Steve's idea for Moober is taking off. It's spread like wildfire yesterday. The idea of an Uber for valet parking.
The thing I think is so funny about that when Super Joe replayed that clip is that you say, if the mobile valet guy drove a car, where does he drive his car to? Mm-hmm. What does he do with his car?
That kind of got blown off.
I know.
There.
And I was like, well, you know, good
I thought
point.
It was a valid question.
Yeah, and that's the whole point of an Uber. You have to have a car. Well, now, you know, they're saying you don't have to get a car. Just take public transportation.
Yeah, but then how long are you waiting? You could probably look around and find a parking space.
The funny thing about that, just, you know, Steve Cochran went to Check Hoppix service. A little birdie told me that Steve Dahl, who is also at the service, also complained about the parking at the church.
And he blocked Steve in.
Probably.
That was the rumor.
A common they have a commonality. Both Steve's broadcasters did not like the parking at the church.
So you're saying Steve and I really were almost like twins?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So that's very funny to me.
What's the deal with the flooding, do you think? Is it ever going to stop raining?
Poor Mary's got water in her basement already.
Yeah.
You sump pump free?
Yeah, it's just seepage through the walls. It just comes, drains down.
Well, that's a poltergeist. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's just an old house, you know?
That's what I got,
Mayor. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, everything costs too much money to fix it, so it just drains right down. I just move everything off the floor. Nothing's down there anyway. It's a junk basement.
Because you're used to it, yeah.
But generally, you don't want it to be a pool.
No, it won't be a pool. It goes down the drain. It just
comes in
down.
First.
Yeah, it just comes in first. We pick up all the rugs, yeah. area rugs, and we're good to go.
I had Permaseal do the seepage fix on the walls a few years ago. Didn't you have that?
I did, yes.
I don't know what they do. They come in with some magic coating and they spray it on your wall or something? I don't even know.
They fix the cracks in the wall, but they also ran drain pipes from my drain tiles, my window wells to my sump pump. And I had a problem. This has been years. I haven't had a problem since.
Yeah, no, they did a fine job for me as well.
I feel bad for the people in Davenport, Iowa, because they seems like every time this happens, they get the downtown area there gets flooded. Mm-hmm. I guess that's happening again.
Well, isn't the northwest side getting whacked here?
I would think.
And Jackson on the west side, the road buckled?
Yeah, still blocked off.
The water reclamation guy said this morning on Vic Vaughn's news that if you could hold off on showers and laundry until the water levels go down, that'd be great.
And washing dishes.
Yeah, washing dishes. Dishwasher. I'm like, it was giving me anxiety just thinking about it.
What are we missing with that?
Because the levels, what are those things called? The bins.
But I've never heard that warning before.
Yeah, it was the levels are, they're not at capacity, but they're close. So,
Steve, have you ever heard that? Don't shower. Don't wash your dishes. Don't use water. Oh, Steve apparently is listening to it.
Now, when there is this much rain, I was during water shortages.
It's very bizarre.
Well, the deep tunnel, you know, maybe part of it is, you know, how full is the deep tunnel? And
but I've never heard that warning before.
I've never heard that warning either. I mean, in some places, like, you know, the city, are we impacted by the same warning? I don't know. I mean, I can see some suburbs that might be starting to have impacts of this, but it's the first time I've ever heard that. Usually you hear like a boil water order or something like that, but not don't bathe yourself.
Yeah, Steve, we've been told we can shower by next Wednesday.
Yeah. Hmm.
So.
I that's not advisable. I mean, that's not what you want either. Now, can we talk about traffic for a second, Mary Vanderbilt? Because I think we need a rule.
It's raining, Steve.
That we can all agree on. No, that's not the rain.
It's raining, Steve.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Oh.
What I'm talking about is if you have a fender bender, you get out of your car, you greet the other person, and you agree to pull off at the nearest possible spot and deal with your fender bender. So right at the mouth of Ida B. Wells, right at the end of the Eisenhower.
During the construction.
And during the construction, where it's down to two lanes, there was a fender bender, which literally locked up the Ike all the way back to, you know, to 88. I mean, it was 40.
It wasn't you, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
It's literally, it was 40 minutes from just beyond Damon to downtown. I mean, that's ridiculous. All because two people had a fender bender.
I'll be honest. You know how they have that rule around here where if you get in something where you can drive your cars, you're just exchanging information like
that's
you said.
That's the emergency.
But I've been in a couple. I was in like a sideswipe fender bender a few years ago. And my first instinct was like, I'm not moving until the police come and see that this person did something bad to my car. You know, like your natural instinct overrides
what you're supposed to do. If you are...
You want justice, you know, when you're in it.
You know what I want? I want you to get out of my way.
I know what you want. I'm just saying when you're... I know the rule and I know that that makes sense, but then when you're in it... You're
but
like,
I rarely see what I saw today where two people go and tie up an entire west side of a city because of that. I mean, you know, again, you know, these are you know what it was? Those are probably the same two people that blocked Dahl and Mann.
Right.
Because they just don't
care.
It's
a conspiracy.
Yeah, and one of, you know, the other good thing about moving it out of the way is just the rash of sideswipes we've had, fatal and horrible sideswipes.
Yeah, you got to get off the road.
Get out of the way. That would be my first instinct is get the heck off the road.
That area, there's really nowhere to go.
Well, how about the fact that we've had construction there for, a year? And I know they're making progress, but you have to assume that there's going to be traffic trouble and accident. And why don't you create a pull-off area? A pull-off area that's well-signed and you can move, you know, as the construction changes.
There's one on
there
the Ryan.
There is going westbound. There's not one going eastbound.
Yeah, well, who would have thought that eastbound might have a problem?
Yeah.
You know, right on the north end of the, right near the junction, or right near the Jane Byrne interchange on the Ryan, there's that accident investigation area. I think there's one on the Kennedy.
Yeah, but if you don't have your accident right around there, it doesn't do you any good. It's like, if you're going to crash right here. Because
yeah, but I'll take a shot that you're going to have it there as opposed to somewhere else where you got nowhere else to pull off.
Take a deep breath.
Relax in knowing that you could also have not made it to work today in a flying vehicle because it probably would have been grounded. So
same problem.
I could have used a boat.
Marianne Ahern coming up here in a few minutes. Donald Trump's calling after 7. Big change last night in Washington, which affects the testimony of William Barr, the attorney general, this morning. Essentially, he's lying, which is not the biggest shock in the world, but there's some written proof of it now. Paul Reiser is going to be on later. We love Paul. And later on as well, Dean with your Moron Entertainment and Ro Khan. Amongst other things, coming up, the headlines in just a moment.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Well, now, oh, Mary Ann, you know you sure look fine. Well, now, oh, oh.
How about Super Joe getting it done?
Well, now,
you know, as you know, I've been thrown out of a lot of fine cities from coast to coast. And even though I've spent the majority of my life here, and this is home, I could tell you without hesitation that I've never seen a better reporter than Marianne Ahern anywhere. Anywhere. I'm not just saying that because she's on hold and it's a nice introduction, like I'm sucking up to her. I'm saying it because I mean it, Dave.
I know you mean it.
So, Marianne Ahern joins me now. Good morning. Let me actually go ahead and turn the phone on.
Contract's up. Did I
I'm doing anything I can. You know what I mean?
That is hilarious. Thank you so much.
So the other day, Lourdes Duarte was honored at an event, a very nice event, DePaul Distinguished Alumni event. So Marianne was on deadline, and Marianne had to leave.
And I didn't even know you were there.
From the podium.
Yeah. Oh, she didn't even know you were there.
Well, we were sitting in like different parts of the room. I knew where she was because I keep tabs on her at all times. So from the podium, Carol Marine shouts out to you, and she called you either Thelma or Louise. Do you call each other Thelma and Louise?
Well, it actually, the story started back during the Obama campaign. And one of the Obama staffers said to us, we were together, and it wasn't as a term of endearment, said, here they are, Thelma.
Okay, there you go. Well, that's funny.
And but we took it, and we've gone with it. We literally have Thelma and Louise T-shirts on our desks at
that's
work.
Funny.
Yet.
Now, which one are you, Susan Sarandon or Gina Davis?
I'm Thelma. And so wait, so that is
I forget who Thelma was.
One.
Oh, that's yeah. Gina Davis. Got it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck with your next film. all right. So, what do you make of this Lori Lightfoot meeting with Eddie Johnson? I mean, we're going to talk to the first deputy superintendent Anthony Riccio later, but it sounds to me, reading between the lines, like Eddie's sticking around.
For now, I think he is, and here she is, the former federal prosecutor. She gets police reform. This was her topic. This is what she worked on. This is what the mayor turned to her for before she decided to run. And she realizes that if she can get the violence piece under control, some of these other issues will certainly not be as large. So, first meeting, not only with Eddie Johnson, but bringing in John Lausch, Kim Fox, Tom Dart. She did that on Monday. And what did we hear the very next morning? He announced not only his summer plan, but there's some 18 command staff changes. There had to have been some kind of input that all of them gave Eddie Johnson, I would think. That didn't happen without somebody saying, hey, wait a second, I think we need to reorganize some of these people. Then part two, yesterday, she sat down on the 11th floor at City Hall with all kinds of civic leaders, city department heads from Streets and Sand to CTA, Park District, and some of us said, you know, what role do they play? And she said, hey, you know, everybody plays a role. It isn't just the police. It's all of the stakeholders of the city. And also took questions about the large groups of young people that were downtown, especially during spring break. She said, hey, wait a second. They've got a right to come downtown. Kids have a right to come to their city. But perhaps it's a problem of there's nothing to do in their neighborhood, and we need to be more aware of that. So you know, it's a new approach. It's a new way of looking at it. Is everything going to be roses? Probably not. But the change is happening, and it's coming within the next 18 days.
Do they seem to, and I'm not saying they're being cocky or unrealistic about this, but do they seem to feel they have a key to the lock of the violence problem on the West Side that the others haven't seen before or wouldn't execute?
You know, that's a tough one, man. You know, depending on who you talk to, everybody's got, you know, a new idea, a new this, a new that. But, man, I don't think anyone's got the actual key. But you can't give up. Absolutely.
No, of course not. No, of course not.
Yeah.
All right. So going forward, there's the transition between Rahm Emanuel and Lori Lightfoot. Are they playing nice?
It does appear that way. In fact, you know, as soon as I mentioned in a tweet the other day, hey, there's this meeting, and I received word immediately from the Emanuel folks, and we are part of that. You know, I said, okay, got it. You know, you guys are helping out. So, yes, now the Mayor Emanuel did not attend the meeting yesterday with those department heads, but perhaps that's a good idea. You know, are you as open? Do you say if both people are in the room that, but... Yes, they. From what I hear, his staff has been incredibly helpful to hers.
If violence is top three priorities, if not number one, what else is she committed to be working on right away?
Well, schools are facing a roadblock. You know, the contract talks are full steam ahead. In fact, the CTU has asked for a federal mediator. So schools are right in her face immediately, as well as police. The police. The FOP wants a contract as well. And next week, she heads to Washington, D.C. She is not a big player in Washington, D.C. She may not even know the Illinois delegate. I mean, obviously, she knows the names, but is it someone that she calls and speaks to on a regular basis? Probably not. And she's going to have to get to know them, as well as what we're hearing, a very likely stop at the White House. And that ought to be interesting. She said, hey, he's the president. Chicago needs tax dollars. I respect the office. If it happens, it happens. But the word is that there's perhaps a visit to the White House, as well as folks like Nancy Pelosi and others on the Hill.
You know, there's an interesting thing that goes on because of the sexism that still exists in the world and certainly exists in politics and the double standard that women have to face. She comes into this very tough position to be the mayor of the city of Chicago as a female, as someone who's small in stature, and as someone who's not loud as a person. Yet she's got this sort of assassin's vibe to her when she's in the room. So,
oh, yeah.
I think she's an interesting mix. I don't think anybody's going to walk all over.
Oh, no. And, you know, I've got a phone call from her before the campaign. There was talk, is she going to run, is she not going to run? And I received a phone call at a dressing down of, you know, all the words I don't want to repeat necessarily, but basically, you know, who do you think you are saying this about me? You got to check with me first. You know, she's no one's fool, you know, and she's not afraid to tell you what she thinks. And hey, some of my, you know, I like that about people.
Oh,
I want to know where they stand.
Amen.
I want to know absolutely where they stand.
One of the concerns I had once everything became clear and she had this blowout victory was, does she have the organization that she can put together to run a company this size, the city of Chicago? Is that coming together?
Well, it sure appears that way, but they're, you know, they're always rumbling. You know, I have been hearing, oh boy, she doesn't like to be handled, you know, more Pat Quinn-like than more Rahm Emanuel-like. You know, people are going to have their say of what's going on, and doesn't, you know, wants to have a finger in all the pots and know what they're up to, and don't you tell me what to do. And at some point, you do have to acquiesce to the others and say, hey, I brought you people on to help me and run this department, and I can't do it all. So I think the honeymoon, it might, who knows, it's not going to be long-lived because there's just too much facing this mayor between the violence, the schools, and a budget to come up with rather quickly. Folks are going to expect big things, and they're going to expect it pretty fast.
I'll let you right on this. You can go to NBC5's website, and you can follow Marianne Ahern, NBC, all over social media. You talked to Tammy Duckworth, right?
Did talk to her yesterday, and she just got back on her trip. She was last week in Iraq, her very first trip back since she had been shot down in her helicopter. And she talked about how what it was like to get back into a helicopter. This time, of course, riding in the back seat, not as the pilot. But she said the smell of the chopper, just being there, all of that came right back to her. And but she did talk as well about hopefully one day she'd like to bring her daughters there.
Wow.
And show them what it was like. And she hopes that Iraq could be a place that they would like to visit. So
wow.
I thought that was, you know, pretty interesting to hear.
Yeah, and she's been in the Senate long enough now to anticipate she's going to start to make a little more noise because she's been, quiet would be the word in her first few years.
I would say so. And, you know, when she has someone like Dick Durbin, you know, as the senior senator, that it makes it a little tougher to mm-hmm. break from. But, yeah, I agree. Time to speak your voice and say it on your own.
It's Marianne Ahern, I forgot already. You're Thelma? Thelma, right? Thelma?
Thelma? I'm Thelma.
All right, Thelma. I always liked you better than Louise. And again, at Marianne Ahern NBC, all over your Twitter and social media. Thanks for the time, as always.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
There you go. And watch her on NBC 5 News, obviously.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, it is 6:57. Attorney General Barr scheduled to testify to the Senate this morning and then to the House tomorrow, though there's questions on whether or not he'll even show up at the House. Subpoenas are an act of law that are designed to be followed and expected to be followed. And if he blows off the subpoena, then expect the next level of ugliness to kick in. In the meantime, there's been a development overnight, in case you missed it. And that is that Robert Mueller wrote Bill Barr, by the way, they're friends for a long time, wrote Bill Barr a letter that said, you completely mischaracterized me and what we did for the last 2 years in the report. And you've set off great confusion in the media and therefore amongst people as to what the report says, and it needs to be corrected. This is all in regards to Barr's 4-page letter summarizing the 400-page report. So they followed that up with a phone call. We're not sure what was said in the phone call, but what this is likely to lead to is now that we know Mueller's upset about it, is Mueller being subpoenaed to appear in the Senate and in the House. And we'll hear the first from him in the entire 2 years as to what he found and what he can say about these 10 other, if not 11 or 12 other cases that came up that he has not been able to talk about. While he was looking into the problems of Trump and Russia.
You know, Steve, I have to say that as a citizen, I expected to hear from Mueller all along, no matter what.
Yeah, me too.
You know, and I kind of feel like I want to hear from him more now, more than ever, obviously. But I think it's important that we all hear in his words what he found.
Well, don't you think the interesting thing here is, did he get jobbed by his friend Barr? Because Barr's his boss. The attorney general's his boss. But Mueller is the kind of guy that has done a lot in his life, from being a Vietnam War hero to the head of the FBI. He's very politically savvy as well. But did he turn over what he turned over to Barr, knowing Barr was going to be dishonest? Because there's a thing called going to paper. And going to paper is a very serious thing in the FBI and in the government, because it means you are literally making a documentation, a paper trail of the record. And therefore, you can use this paper trail as a matter of history, but also to show that you felt this way at a certain point in time. And nobody can go, it's my word against your word. So the phone call is one thing, but the fact that he wrote it down is a big deal.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens today in the Senate. The Senate, of course, is controlled by the Republicans. Lindsey Graham, Donald Trump's caddy, will be leading that side of things. And then tomorrow is scheduled to appear in the House, but a lot of that will depend on what develops today. But, you know, if you get a subpoena, you got to show.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And it feels like that, and, you know, we heard the president say this last week, that they're going to fight all subpoenas. What that means in real life, how that's actually going to play out, it's kind of scary for the rule of law, but fighting all subpoenas, that's going to tie up the courts. That's going to tie up a lot of these issues where we get no resolution on any of them.
Yeah, it's a Nixon move, and it feels very much like how all of that developed in the end. But, again, Steve, the question we've been asking for 2 years plus, what are you hiding? If you're innocent, what are you hiding? If you're innocent, we didn't have to have the 2 years investigation.
cooperate. And don't say you cooperated because you sent a bunch of paperwork over. Cooperate, testify, commit to interviews, all of that.
Right, and the Attorney General, and this is part of the role of the Attorney General, is to appear before Congress and answer questions as in their oversight role.
And if you don't do it, why would we think anything other than you're trying to hide something?
Exactly.
Coming up, more with Steve in a moment, including the fact that he'll be swimming out of the deep tunnel at noon today in a personal appearance. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where he is, and he'll be there next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
7:13 now. The head of the Water Reclamation District is going to take us on a schoolhouse rock-like tour of the deep tunnel and tell us why we shouldn't be concerned.
His name is Ed Stadacher.
Ed Stadacher?
I think so. Okay. S-T-A-U-D-A-C-H-E-R.
He used to be the quarterback of the Cowboys, wasn't he?
That would have been Roger Staubach.
Oh, was close.
He's the assistant director of monitoring and research.
For the water reclamation situation?
Yep, Metropolitan Water Reclamation.
That's what it's called, right? The water reclamation situation?
And in studio, off the air, you and Dave were talking about flooding and the big tunnel and all this, and you're asking if I remembered, and I don't, but then you looked it up, and it was before I was born, so.
Yes, the Deep Tunnel Project was commissioned in the early 70s.
Before you came to Chicago, I think mid-80s, there was, I think it was August, I want to say 87, maybe. People were leaving their cars on the Kennedy Expressway trying to get to O'Hare. There was so much water on the expressway, they were walking to O'Hare and just abandoning their cars in the middle of the expressway. Oh, there had been so much rain.
So why would you leave your car to go take a flight?
I wasn't one of the ones doing it, but there were people doing it.
Oh, I don't doubt that you're
They couldn't drive. I mean...
Right, but then who, this is pre-car phone. Who's going to pick up your car?
That's a good point.
Maybe float away, float on home.
You couldn't take an Uber.
I mean, that had to be a really important flight if you go, I'm just leaving the car here.
Maybe they had those Moober mobile valet guys.
Yeah, see? Idea ahead of its time.
Later, loser.
Uh-oh. Thought this was going to happen to the president.
Later,
going.
Loser. Later, loser.
I'm thinking about just letting it ring for an hour.
Later, loser.
All right, I got it. Good morning, Mr. President.
Good morning, Cochran. Completely exonerated, according to the Barr's summary of the Mueller report. And that's all that matters, frankly.
Yeah, about really that. Is. Now, hold on now. Mueller is in the news today. He wrote a letter to Attorney General William Barr, your caddy, claiming that Barr mischaracterized the context, the nature, and the substance of Barr's summary of the Mueller reports. What do you make of that?
Welcome to Witch Hunt 2.0.
There you go. Sure.
I mean, I had no idea that Robert Mueller was such a whiny little baby. Just like Crooked Hillary, always complaining. Imagine that. Mueller didn't like Barr's description of the report. Shocker. Look, William Barr did a tremendous job stonewalling.
Summarizing
the Mueller report. He really did.
Boy, Pence is handy to have around. And they, well, at any rate now, I'm sure Barr's hearing with the Senate Judiciary Committee today. I mean, that's going to be interesting. You're going to be watching, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. And make sure you fit in a bathroom break before it starts, because it's going to be even longer than that new Avengers Endgame movie, believe me. Now, look, let's settle this debate about William Barr once and for all by going to a very dependable source, the Magic Trump 8-Ball.
Oh, shake it
okay?
up.
Magic Trump 8-Ball, did William Barr do anything wrong? Let's give it a shake. The answer is bigly doubtful. There you go, Cochran.
Well, then we don't even need to discuss.
No need to.
Let's go to the 2020 campaign. Joe Biden is officially running for president now. His numbers look great. He had his first rally earlier this week. I bet you're nervous.
I am. Yeah, you know what? I'm not too concerned about it. I mean, well, if he wants to jump in the race, I am concerned about that because, you know, if he jumps into anything at his age, trampoline, ball pit, swimming pool... Nice. Chances are he's going to dislocate a hip, or at very least, his sciatica is going to flare up.
Sure.
Now, look, to answer your question, I'm not concerned by him or threatened by Joe. The only people who should be concerned or threatened by him are the people in the path of his 2009 Grand Marquis. Wait, seriously, I wouldn't trust Biden in a golf cart.
Sir, how long did it take you to come up with the old guy car reference of a 2009 Marquis, and what other cars did you consider? Or would you like to get those answers to me in writing?
I'll send it to you in a note.
Okay. Now, you also gave Biden a new nickname. You want to tell people what that is?
Sleep. Sleepy Joe. Such a great nickname, isn't it? So original.
Yes.
It barely beat out Backrub Joe, but the focus group told us to go with Sleepy. I called him Sleepy Joe because he looks so tired. Did you hear his campaign slogan?
No, what is it?
Snore more years.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Terrible, right? Not as terrible as that joke, but
right,
pretty terrible.
Right.
Look, I might be able to change the nickname if Biden can get a hold of the same plastic surgery Nancy Pelosi uses to get that wide-eyed expression off her face.
It's pretty crazy that the oldest candidates, Biden and Bernie Sanders, are leading most of the favorability polls right now, sir, and you're right behind them.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, usually the only things guys like that are leading are the line to get into Denny's for the early bird special.
Now, the Washington Post says that you've topped 10,000 false or misleading statements, lies, since your inauguration. What's your comment?
And we're going to make it to 20,000 by Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
Look, how are they counting these, Cochran? How are they counting these lies? Like when I called myself young and vibrant, is that one or two lies?
That'd be two.
Is it a combo? Give me the benefit of the doubt, okay? Look, when it comes to false and misleading statements, no one knows more about that than the Washington Post. They're the experts. That I can tell you. Them and the dying New York Times.
Now, did you see the story about the beluga whale that was found off the Arctic near Norway? They're playing fetch with the whale. Now, say it's very affectionate.
Can you believe that?
People say it could be a spy whale for the Russians. A spy whale!
Because it had that strap or whatever that could hold the camera. That's ridiculous. Now, if you guys want to see a whale with a camera, just go to Michael Moore's Instagram account, okay?
That's a funny thing you've said all day. Now, by the way, congratulations to Don Jr. He and his lovely girlfriend, Kimberly Guilfoyle, are moving in together. Bought a 9,200 square foot, 7-bedroom house in the Hamptons. And got it for a steal, $4.5 million.
Isn't that great? Such a lovely starter home for them. But I will tell you, in all fairness, Donnie Jr. needs to slow the hell down. I mean, nothing against Cougar Kim, but you'd never catch me with a 50-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
A couple 25-year-olds, maybe, but never a 50-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the house goes, it's a beautiful place, I will tell you. The hard part will be decorating, because it's not easy to find just the right paint color to go with the dead animal heads on the wall.
Hey, why is he in such a hurry to get married again, do you think? Well, send that to me in writing as well. Listen, I appreciate your time, as always. I know it's a very busy day. Do you know where your remote is? Because it's probably time to fire up the TV. So thank you for calling.
Going to set that DVR and going to take my son, Baron, to go see Avengers Endgame again.
Oh, good.
And when I say I'm going to take him, I mean the Secret Service or the nanny or whoever's in charge of him.
Yeah. But thank you for calling, sir.
Later, loser.
He's just a delight on every level. It's 7:21. We have the most valuable person on the planet coming up. Plus, Sandberg and I both have separate delightful customer service stories. Yeah, you got all these negative customer service stories where people don't get it done. You're not going to believe the experience I had yesterday. I must have set some kind of speed record because of the incredible customer service I had. And not because, you know, they go, oh, Steve Cochran, I'll take care of him so he doesn't complain about it on the radio. No, they had no idea who I was. Just great customer service. Are you intrigued now?
I am. Did they think you were the founder of Moober?
No. Boober? No. Not Boober either. 7:21. They thought I was a boober.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Ashley Colquitt supports World Vision's mission to provide clean water resources for women, children, and families around the world. This is a huge problem, maybe the number one global threat there is. And Ashley Colquitt joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, you're the MVPP.
I've never been called that before, so that's awesome.
Well, it's a compliment. Why people don't understand in this country how lucky we are to have access to clean water, right?
Yeah, for sure. It is actually a global crisis. We're seeing it a little bit more here in the U.S., but all over the world, people lack access to this basic necessity that is clean water.
So at the World Vision Global Center that's putting on the 6K, what do we need to know?
Yeah, so So the Global 6K for Water is actually a way for you to not just help people who need clean water, but to also experience the walk that they take every day just to access water that might not be safe to drink. And so it's a 6K, I know is a weird distance. Typically people hear of a 5K or a 10K, but it's a 6K because that is actually the average distance that women and children in the developing world walk for water multiple times a day to fetch water for their family. So 6K is about 3.7 miles. It is a very easy race. Anybody can do it. It's technically a walk. And when you walk the 6K for water, you provide clean water to one person in need.
And the 6K distance, again, is the distance people deal with every day to get what we get just by turning a handle or pulling it up or whatever to get water for us.
Yeah, for sure. Multiple times a day, they actually take this trek. And this duty usually falls to the women and the children. So you can imagine being a child and having to walk that distance multiple times a day. It causes them to miss school. It puts them in danger for exploitation. And so we're really just trying to get as much clean water to as many people as possible.
So here's the deal. Go to worldvision6k.org to register. Your $50 registration fee, as you said, provides clean water for one person. So get your friends involved as well, because three or four of you is going to make a huge difference. I mean, four of you take care of a whole family, probably.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And it's only $25 for kids. We have a donor who's matching all of the kids' registration.
This is why you're the most valuable person on the planet.
Awesome. Thank you. I really appreciate this.
All right, you hold the line. Thanks for coming on to Plug It. Well, nice person, huh?
Yeah, that clean water thing is, because when they have those like flooding disasters there too, they have nothing to, the water is contaminated and they have nothing they can do to like make it safe for them.
No.
They die.
It is the number one threat to third world nations around the world. Matt Damon's a part of an organization trying to find new ways to create clean water. One of the main initiatives the Gates Foundation has is toilets. Find ways to have healthy toilets that process water more efficiently in other parts of the world. I mean, it's a huge deal. So it's weird on a morning like this where you look out the window and
Where we've got too much water.
There's a lot of water.
Yeah.
But we are blessed in this country to not have this problem in really almost any area. A couple of quick customer service stories. What's yours?
Aft was at my house yesterday. They had to do a little bit of a built-in cabinet thing with my new wall oven because my 1958 house was not accommodating the 2019 oven.
These construction guys, they're like artists.
Yes. And I knew it would look fine. I did not know that I would love it. Like what they did was this isn't just a few pieces of plywood or anything slapped up there. It's a beautiful, what they did was beautiful. And the guys were really conscientious. They came in with a vacuum after and vacuumed up because they had to do some cutting. And so they vacuumed it up. So
did they bring cookies?
They did not bring me any cookies.
Did they make your beds and make you dinner?
God, Steve, my beds were made.
Oh, sorry.
They did not make me dinner. But I said, I love it. And they said, when you love it, we're happy. So that's what they told me.
Well, here's what happened to me. Yesterday was the end of the month and my last day to get new registration stickers for my car, for the white lighting for the Tahoe. It's a Chevy Tahoe.
White lightning.
Thank you. And you think, well, good move, Steve. Wait till the last day. And then on top of that, I had a bunch of stuff to do yesterday afternoon. So I go in at 4:45.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's like going, you think it's like walking into an IKEA on a Saturday afternoon a week before kids go back to college. It's a really bad idea.
It feels like it's a death wish is what it feels like.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like going to a Costco on a Saturday afternoon. It's a bad idea. I go in. The lines are perfectly balanced. Perfectly balanced. I go out to the main information desk where they funnel you to initially. Mm-hmm. Very pleasant person goes, Mr. Cochran, you simply go over to our cashier. I look to my left, and it's like Christmas morning. There's nobody in line. If I'm fast enough, and if I'm known for one thing, it's speed. If I'm fast enough, I can shift left, walk right, and go right up to the counter, and nobody's there. I go up to the counter. I'm the only one in line.
I have a pleasant exchange with the cashier. In less than 60 seconds, I've got my new stickers paid for, and I'm out the door. No one in history has ever had a 60-second turnaround at the DMV before I had it yesterday.
I think you're right. Now, were you racing anybody to the cashier? Was it one of those fast-walking
things? You know
who
you're
things?
Asking? This is Steve Cochran. Does he fast-walk ever?
Yeah. I was. Well, let me tell you something. I moseyed at a higher rate than I normally do.
Okay.
Yeah, I fast-moseyed.
I want to see a video of the fast-walk versus the slow-walk.
It's not a fast-walk. It's a fast-mosey.
Fast-mosey.
Yeah. Okay. Let's come back and get your headlines next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Ted, one of the things that's been great about City Hall is the access so that you guys can hear what your city is doing for you. Superintendent Eddie Johnson's been in a ton. The mayor has been in. Mayor Emanuel, a bunch. When's Lori Lightfoot on? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow at 7:10.
Okay. And joining us now, First Deputy Superintendent Anthony Riccio. And how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you here. Big meeting yesterday because we're trying to figure out a way to stem the tide of violence on the left side. I assume it was led by the incoming mayor?
It was. So the mayor-elect called all the city heads together for a big meeting to kind of brainstorm about what we want to do this summer. And, you know, we've had a good year. We continue to move in the right direction. And we want to build on that. We want to keep that going through the summer.
One of the things, and I'll be honest with you, I was wrong. I never used to put faith in this, was that good weather meant more crime in crime-ridden areas. Of course, logically, it makes sense because creeps go outside and they've got more time to be outside and do their thing. So there is a seasonal aspect to this, isn't there?
Oh, there absolutely is. What we see with the warmer weather is obviously there's more people out. There's more opportunities for things like, you know, drive-bys and robberies and things of that nature. So we adjust accordingly. We have more officers on the street. We also push our starting times back a little bit for some of our specialized units, our tactical officers.
Sure.
Because we find that, you know, the crime will go till 3 o'clock in the morning, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning before it finally settles down. So we adjust as they adjust.
I've said this a million times, and you know this, 99% of the people in the worst neighborhoods in the city just want what everybody wants in their own neighborhoods, and that's send my kids to school, get to work, come home, have a family, have a life, get to church, whatever.
Absolutely.
And the 1% are the ones that are causing all of the problems. The 1% are the ones who are going to be stopped. If you have the complete cure, please raise your hand. Mm-hmm. Mr. Riccio, I'd love to hear your solution. In the meantime, you have to do what you can do. And one of the things that came out of the meeting yesterday was a bit of a leadership rebalancing, I guess is the way I'd put it. What does it mean to us?
Well, what it means is we're going to see a collaborative effort. That's something that's not new to us, quite frankly. That's been the case under the current mayor as well. And we just want to kind of retool and be on one page, one sheet of music going forward for the summer. Build on those gains. Like I said, you know, we released our crime stats, our robberies, our burglaries, our vehicle thefts, 20-year lows. And that's not an accident. That's some good planning. That's some good strategies. That's some good police work. Vehicular hijackings, carjackings, 36% reduction this year versus last year.
And had to stem the tide of it starting here in the Loop. It was here, and now it's virtually gone again.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. So we want to continue to build on those. I mean, we're never going to be satisfied, right? So we're happy with reductions, of course, but we're never going to be satisfied. We want to keep pushing those things down, build on our successes. We've got a great team in place. You know, we made some changes yesterday within the command structure of the department. We wanted to make sure that we have the right people in the right places going into the summer. And I think some of the changes we made yesterday are going to accomplish that. So we're moving forward in a good direction.
One of the things that happens when the weather is warmer, I know it happened a couple weekends ago when it actually was nice out, are those waves of kids that come downtown and just, right. You know, are in masses. And I know in the paper they said that you guys were working on strategies to stop that. And occasionally some of them are arrested if they cause violence, but some aren't. What is a strategy to stop them from mobilizing to come down here?
So... And that's going to take more than just the police. So we're looking to clergy. We're looking to businesses. We're looking to community groups. We want to give them an alternative to going down. They're kids. Kids are kids. They want to hang out. They want to be with their friends. If they have something to do or someplace to go other than downtown, they're going to take it. They're just looking for something to do like everybody else. Now, having said that, when they come down and they create havoc or commit criminal acts, we're going to lock them up, and we're going to, you know, have their parents come down. We want to have, for example, we want to have Chicago Public School principals come down, or some representative of the schools when we know kids from a certain school are down there. And then,
what sort of latitude do you have when you get a little, you know, we used to call it wilding, when you get a bunch of kids who go into a store at one time, mm-hmm. and maybe they're not shoplifting, maybe they're just being jerks,
right?
But the store has a right to conduct business and not frighten their other customers and all that. Is sure. there any, what's the latitude that police have?
Well, if they're interfering with the operation of the store, then they are committing a crime. They don't have to necessarily shoplift to commit a crime. The store asks them to leave and they refuse to leave, they can certainly sign complaints, and we'll lock them up. And,
is that criminal trespass? What is that?
It is. It's criminal trespass.
Okay.
If a business tells you to leave, if you're not patronizing that business, if you are in there, like you said, I don't know, being jerks, is that what you called it?
Yeah, I think that sums it up, right? Just a bunch of kids being jerks. That kind of cuts to the chase.
Yeah, but again, I, you know, these are kids that want to have fun and want to do things that you did as a kid, that I did as a kid. When it crosses that line and becomes criminal, then we have to deal with it. But I think we want to focus on trying to give them something else to do, whether it's in the parks or jobs. You know, there's so many businesses. This is a very wealthy city, and we're just flush with successful businesses. We'd like to see them give some of these kids an opportunity as well.
Well, summer jobs is a huge deal.
It is.
But as you know, that with any big problem, there's an immediate, a midterm, and a long-term solution.
Right.
Changing society is the long-term part of this.
It is.
And finding jobs for these kids maybe is a midterm. What about no snitch? The no snitch policy, aldermanic no snitch policy aside, the no snitch policy in the neighborhoods, is that getting better?
So I will say this about the no snitch policy: the no snitch policy does not apply to the first person that we take in custody, because when we get people in custody, they start talking. So you got to be careful who your friends are and who you're hanging out with. But you know, to address the, and it's not, I won't even call it no snitch. It's cooperating with the police. So if you're a neighbor and you're one of the 99%, as you were saying, who are good people in those neighborhoods, and you see something going on, you have to let us know about it. Everybody has a stake in making their neighborhoods safer, and you can't just see something and not say something and not cooperate, because that allows these criminals to flourish, really, and run the streets. And we don't want that. We want the good people to run. We want the 99% to run the streets, not the 1%.
I know I've already kept you overtime, but let me get you one more.
Sure.
Trust between the CPD and communities. A lot of this stuff becomes generational, because if grandpa and grandma and tell mom and dad, who tell the kids, don't trust the cops,
right?
It funnels down. But I'm hearing from guys on the beat, women who are, you know, are on the street as cops, that younger folks, there's a better trust relationship there than they've seen in a long time. Is that true?
It absolutely is true, and that's something that we've worked really hard on. You know, it used to be that we would show up to places and we would get no cooperation from anybody. Now we are getting people coming forward. You know, we're reaching out to the communities again. Community policing is no longer an office in a police station. It's our department's philosophy. Everybody is vested in that, and we realize that that's a huge component of moving forward and having a better relationship with the community. We have meetings going throughout the city right now with between officers and members of the community, stakeholders, whether it's businesses, residents, clergy.
Sure.
To try to find out, you know, what their issues are, what their concerns are, and then jointly come up with solutions. When people are part of the solution, they feel more vested, and it's a good relationship between the police and the community then. And I think we're making great strides.
Did I call you Riccio?
I think you did.
It's Riccio.
It is.
Why'd you let me do that? You should have arrested me on the spot.
I've been called worse, so I'm good with Riccio. You can do that.
I guess I'm not the first.
No, you're not.
Having said that, First Deputy Superintendent Anthony Riccio, very much appreciate your time.
Thank
you're always welcome here.
I appreciate it.
You know, you have no bigger fan than me, and I know your goal is to make sure there's no bad cops out there that create trust issues.
Absolutely.
But we want the community to get along so we can benefit.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for being here. We're going to come back in a moment and figure out how we can swim the deep tunnel, because apparently there's plenty of water there.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Ed Stadaher is Assistant Director of Research and Development for the Water Reclamation Situation. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Steve.
Thanks for coming on. I know it's a very busy morning, but you scared me this morning. You want to know why?
Why is that?
Because you said don't take a shower for a while. What is this warning that we heard earlier this morning, and explain why we needed it?
Well, our systems right now are at capacity. So we have 7 wastewater treatment plants throughout the county. We have 550-plus miles of sewer. We have 109 miles of deep tunnel system, three reservoirs. Tunnels and reservoirs hold about 13.5 billion gallons of water.
And we're full.
We are, you know, trying to do everything we can. And, you know, as a public service announcement, we try and encourage people to delay things like, you know, laundry or, you know, putting on a dishwasher and just, you know, anything you can, that everybody can do their part.
Did I lose you, Ed? You with me?
He's leaving it at that. Do your part.
Do your part. He had to go.
Yeah. He didn't fall into the deep tunnel.
Ed! Ed!
In the tunnel this morning.
Standing by?
I've been in the deep tunnel before. It's actually pretty cool in the area out southwest of the city.
It's an amazing bit of engineering.
Huge.
Ed Stouterg, we got disconnected, Ed. Sorry about that. Thanks for coming back.
No problem.
All right. So, again, we want you to have an opportunity to put the warning or at least the ask out. Don't do your dishes. Don't do your laundry. If you can avoid this till the end of the day, it gives the city and the county a chance to move this water along in a way so that we're not going to have the issues we have right now.
Correct. So we have our systems. We have a very large system. You know, seven treatment plants, you know, 550 miles of sewers, 109 miles of deep tunnel. These are, you know, up to 30 foot in diameter tunnels, 300 feet deep in the ground, three reservoirs. We're talking about 13.5 billion gallons of storage in the tunnels and reservoirs. And plus we manage the Chicago area waterways. It's 76 miles of navigable waterway in the Chicago land area. And right now, everything is full. We still have capacity at our reservoir in the south area, but the other reservoirs are full. The tunnels are full. Our sewers, our treatment plants are at capacity, and they're treating billions of gallons of water every day. And we're capturing billions of gallons of water, and things are working really well. But any stress we can take off the system, you know, helps everybody out, and it lessens what eventually would go out to the waterways as a CSO, combined sewer overflow. And, you know, we've captured a lot of that water now, and that water will go back and get full treatment as the storm pulls out and we get back to more normal operations.
So with the cooperation, then we won't have to take the emergency measures like pumping some of this into the river and the lake. Is that what I'm hearing, or am I wrong about that?
Right. Every little bit helps. And so far, we have not put anything into the lake. So we have had CSOs that go out to the rivers in a storm of this size. That's going to happen. But we've captured the worst of it, goes into the deep tunnel and the reservoirs, which is huge because then it gets full treatment back at our treatment plants. Everything we can do to limit what goes out to the waterways, what goes into the sewer system right now, has an impact.
You got plenty to do other than talk to me, Ed. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Steve.
That's Ed. Boy, I had it a moment ago, didn't I? Ed Stouterg.
Stouterg.
Yeah. As far as the forecast goes, specifically for Chicago, maybe some thunderstorms at 10, some rain at 1. But generally speaking, we're going to start to work our way out of this.
Yeah, I think there might be a little rain tomorrow in the forecast as well, but it'll be dry this weekend.
We've got no more room.
And plus the snow and stuff, that melted off and became water,
What we do know is the deep tunnel is where the mole people are.
That's right. And that Steve Krasanich has been in the deep tunnel.
Fit an airliner in one of those tunnels.
Isn't that crazy?
That's big.
Steve's going to do the stories that matter right now from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey.
It's not just any entertainment, it's more on entertainment. That's right, I said it. More on entertainment.
More on entertainment. Steve, I want to give a big shout-out this morning to...
Oh, you know how we love when you do the shout-outs.
Dr. This is like being on American Bandstand when they would ask their favorite high school.
Right.
You get a big shout out.
Like I'm going to rate your shout out between 38 and 96.
You're going to like this one. It's Dr. Ray Davis, who is a pediatrician with the University of Illinois College of Medicine.
Okay.
He was just on our TV morning show talking talking about serious medical things on the show. But after he did his interview on the show, you know, back on the set where the news desk is, you know, and where I am, where we do this, is pretty far away.
Right.
So really, it's like almost a half a block away. So before he left, he asked one of the producers, could he come back and say hello to me? And they walked him all the way back here, and he said hello and said that he is a big fan of Moron Entertainment.
So he takes time out of his day where he's doing.
He's
all
a doctor.
This, he's doing saving, all this good in the world.
Yep.
He's saving lives.
He saves people's lives, and he said how much every day and his drive to work, how much he enjoys Moron Entertainment.
I don't know if I'm flattered by that or concerned.
I'm a little bit concerned that's the case, but here's how I extrapolate it: he is saving people's lives.
That's right,
and we make his life better. Therefore, we are saving people's lives.
So, really, we're the real heroes in this story.
That's the way I look at it.
Hockey, the assist. You get the points. You know,
and I would like to thank the doctor for assisting us.
Yeah. Thank you, doctor.
No, you're assisting
what?
Him.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know if this helps or hurts his career by us publicly.
Well, he sounds like a fabulous guy, right?
Outing him as a moron.
Yeah, because he's like a real contributing member of society, and you and I'll never be able to claim that.
He's a pediatrician. They don't give those certificates to just anyone.
Hey, by the way, the 13.5 billion gallons of water that are currently filled up the deep tunnel.
Yep.
I made two calls, and I've arranged for it all to be dumped in Kenilworth.
Nice.
So, if you're waking up there, I mean, just saying, you're going to have to handle it. That's
they have
all.
Special machines there to get rid of it.
Everybody's got to pitch in. When we come back, Empire, Jesse, the you Obamas.
You mean the carpet cleaning place?
Yes. I do. It's better.
Empire.
Pete Davidson, John Favreau, Robert Downey Jr., Oprah, Rocket Man.
Listen to that. I can see why Dr. Davies loves us so much.
A whole list of stuff. We'll get to like two or three.
Here's what he said, that he's not so much into the entertainment, but he likes the way we tell the story. That's what he told me.
Well, we occasionally get really important news information out, and then the other 4 days a week, we just, act like idiots.
So if you're a patient of Dr. Davies, just know that before he takes care of you, that we have influenced him, his state of mind.
Yes, yes.
Before he puts the stethoscope on. And
well, now you've got me worried again.
You'll be calling his name.
Dean Richardson. Paul Reiser coming up in about 20 minutes. Dean Richards rejoins me for more on entertainment in a very busy entertainment morning. I will add this to the fray, Dean. Yesterday I talked about the mobile valet service, Moober, where the mobile valet guy would come to you and park your car. You talked about Moober being a service where cows wander the streets. I'm not quite sure what that is.
Yep.
We also brought up Boober, where children would be brought to their grandparents instead of their grandparents driving to the children.
I heard a couple of other ideas that people had when they heard Boober of what that might be being delivered to your house.
Somebody brought up Suber, where lawyers would be brought in to sue me.
Mm, that's nice.
And then somebody brought up this morning Gondolaber, where we would have gondolas in this rain just come to you and pick you up. So, we got a lot of ideas out there.
I was looking at some video of a street with all the rain, and it was flooded. And as I was walking by, I thought, oh, they're taking a picture of Venice, Italy. And it
turns out it was Chicago.
It was like in the suburbs someplace.
Nobody knows the trouble we've seen. All right, so Empire coming back, but no Jesse. I fake everything. Smollett.
Yeah, Fox announced yesterday that they have renewed the series. But they renewed the contract of Jussie Smollett, but they say they are not planning on bringing his character back. So they retained the rights to his character. They hired him, but right now they're saying we don't think he's going to be coming back at all. And Smollett says he appreciates that they extended his contract.
Well, who wouldn't? He's getting paid to stay home?
I guess so.
I mean, that's living the dream, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, he says he appreciates that they're keeping the future open for him. So what all that's going to mean, we don't know. I suspect they just they're trying to prevent him from going someplace else, right? Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, either it's a holding situation. Having said that, until he gets help for whatever problem he has between his ears, he's another accident waiting to happen, because you just don't do what he did. If you're right, you just don't. Pete Davidson single again. What happened?
He and Kate Beckinsale are no longer a couple. Who could have possibly have seen that?
Yeah, I thought that was love and marriage for
happening.
Sure.
They've been dating since January. People who are close to them say that the only reason for the split is the long distance between them. It's very difficult for them.
And for Kate Beckinsale losing his number?
To maintain their relationship with so many miles between them, but apparently...
Yeah, so many years between them.
They're still so very...
Well, I think they fall into that category, Mary, of Steve's math.
Half your age plus seven.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they do.
They're 20 years apart, aren't they?
Right, but half your age plus seven. She's 43 or 4.
Okay.
And he's 27 or 8 or something?
I don't know. I thought it was 20 years.
I don't know.
So on Monday night...
She's 45. Go ahead, Dean. I'll get the other facts.
Pete Davidson's age coming up in just seconds. On Monday night?
He's like in his upper 20s.
25.
I think, yeah.
45, 25?
Yeah, so half of 45. 20
years. Yeah, so he's under the number by a little too much.
Yeah, so. Wait, half her age?
Plus seven. That's the bottom line.
Oh, that's the bottom
line.
Okay.
Yeah, so she would only date 29-year-olds.
But I know people who are very young who are emotionally very old and vice versa, and then they get along great.
Yeah, well, that's a load of crap. All right, so what were you telling me about Monday night?
So Monday night, Pete Davidson was supposed to do some stand-up at a club in Connecticut. The owner of the club goes up on the stage to introduce him, and he starts talking about Ariana Grande and Kate Beckinsale. Davidson was getting ready to go up on the stage, and instead... walks out of the club.
I don't blame him.
He leaves.
I don't blame him.
Davidson later in an Instagram post said he specifically asked that they not talk about that, and the owner did, and he said he felt disrespected, and he left, and said he would be happy to come back to this town in Connecticut and do a free show.
For the people that were there?
For people, but he's not going to do a show at that club where he said that it was very disrespectful.
Yeah, it's a jerky thing to do.
Yeah.
John Favreau and Robert Downey Jr. coming to town for what?
Favreau is going to be honored by the Gene Siskel Film Society. He's going to be getting their prestigious Renaissance Award. He's going to get the award and then is going to be interviewed on stage by Robert Downey Jr. So you're going to get Iron Man interviewing the director of the original Iron Man movie.
It's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. It's June 15th. GeneSiskelFilmCenter.org if you want more information or to get tickets.
What room? That's not a big place.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm guessing they'll probably do it at a hotel.
Like in
a room at a hotel.
Yeah, I have
13B.
A happy texter is suggesting Aluminum Man as a new superhero. Iron Man, Aluminum Man.
Oh,
imagine if you're made of tin foil, you'd be so flexible, right?
That's make a lot of noise when you walk, though.
I suppose
I got to think there's a lot of chafing with that too.
Another helpful texter says, Steve, what about Luber, a toilet delivery service or an oil change service? I mean, the helpful listeners are out there.
Oh, they are.
Oprah quit 60 Minutes?
Oprah has talked about why she quit 60 Minutes.
Oh, she already did.
Yeah, she's done with that. And, you know, it seems like a pretty great high-profile
spot. What's she going to do for money?
Spot. I don't know. I hope she's going to be okay. But she said that, you know, when she was on that show, you know how producers and consultants, they start telling the on-air people what they should do and how they should do it? You've probably had that happen.
Once or twice.
Once or twice through the years.
Can imagine how open I was to accepting it.
Just imagine. I've been in the studio when he's got notes like that and begged him, please don't hit the return button on.
That's true. You did
after you've typed an email.
That's true.
So Oprah has said that the producers were telling her to be less emotional sounding, especially when she said her name. They wanted her to sound a little more flat and newsy. So these people apparently have never seen or heard Oprah before.
Because I'm guessing they don't know she's had some success.
Yeah. Yeah. See, people sort of know Oprah. They know her style and her interests. And
no,
so
but rebrand her. Good call.
Yeah, well, so let's get her to flatten everything out a little bit. And she said she started to do it. Once she realized that she was doing that, she said, I got to get out of here. And she quit.
Well, that's the right move.
Dean, my dad sent me a story about Pete Davidson from yesterday in Fox News that when he was traveling to Baltimore for the stand-up tour, he had just broken up. He went with some friends to see Avengers, and then he went to McDonald's, and they spent $400.
On merchandise?
$400 at McDonald's?
Yeah.
On merchandise or food?
Because he bought on food. He bought it for the sold-out audience in the theater staff.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. That's a good move. Nice. He seems like a nice kid.
Yeah.
And by the way, he's got some great stories to tell. Ariana Grande and Kate Beckinsale have both diddled with him. I mean, those are good stories he can tell for the rest of his life.
Define diddle.
Let me show you where I diddled on the map here. And with the Obamas doing a Netflix thing, what's that about?
They, Barack and Michelle Obama, started a production company. And they are behind working on some films that yesterday Netflix announced they will be presenting. They're going to be a bunch of documentaries. The first one is going to be a documentary that's called American Factory, in which a Chinese billionaire buys an abandoned General Motors plant in the Midwest and opens it, repurposes it. There's a documentary on disabled teens, a documentary for preschoolers about food. This sounds interesting. A series based on the New York Times obituary column.
That's is interesting in how newspapers write obituary. For instance, Dean's a very famous guy. I promise you, the Chicago Tribune has your obituary ready right now.
It's probably true. I'm hoping that the first line is best known as the voice of Victory Auto Wreckers.
I think it's probably going to open with from one moron to another.
Oh, well, that could be. That may have eclipsed Victory Auto Wreckers.
Now, the Obamas also, I'm looking at the list here, I'm surprised at this, Gallagher, Man, Mallet, Watermelon. They're doing that as a documentary as well?
It seems like an odd choice to me, but who am I to tell them what they should be doing? They're saying that these are going to be released over the next several years on Netflix, and that they will educate, connect, and inspire, especially the Gallagher documentary.
Helpful listener says, what about Truber, a service that comes to you and tells you the truth about what's wrong with you?
Oh, I don't want that.
I have an uncle who'll do that. I don't care. Listen, your parents won't tell you the truth. I'll tell you, you're a huge disappointment to this family. All right, listen, thanks for being here, Dean.
Steve, it's been my pleasure, and I'll see you tomorrow.
More on this tomorrow when we once again assemble for more on entertainment. Your headlines are next. Paul Reiser coming up, too, on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Tell me why. 843, one of my favorite theaters, North Shore Center for the Performing Arts, and one of the funniest guys in America, Paul Reiser. Friend of the show. I've been on a long time, but I love Paul. He's going to be there Saturday night. Listen to how busy he is. Mad About You's coming back. We'll tell you about that. In addition to that, the show There's Johnny, which was a combination of footage from the Carson show combined with a fictional backstage story on Hulu. Everybody loved that. Stranger Things, a part of that. In addition to that, The Romanoffs, which also stars Christina Hendricks. Imagine the wardrobe people trying to get Christina Hendricks into one of those outfits. Good Lord, man. I mean, it just doesn't stop. Paul Reiser's bringing back Grit and the Weekly Reader. He's delivering him himself. I mean, he just doesn't quit. Good morning, Paul.
I'm exhausted just from listening to you, man.
Just the intro.
Wow. I had no idea. No wonder I'm tired. I couldn't figure it out, but I'm listening to you, and I get it now.
You have to do less.
Yeah, I do. I do. I spoke to my wife. She felt the opposite. She felt, in contrast to you, she felt, I need to do more.
Well, the one real truth about wives is the more you're around the house, the less chance they have to date. So, I mean, you really have to give her some room.
You know what? You're not wrong. You're not wrong. Let me ask you this. You going to come to the show Friday, the North Shore?
Yes.
The day after tomorrow.
Yes, because for you, I'd go anywhere, and I haven't seen you on stage in a while, and you know what a fan I am.
Well, there you go. Then I'll freshen up the jokes. I'll put a new coat of funny on them.
There you go.
Yeah, I'll put on long pants for this one.
Well, why would you freshen it up? I'm still doing stuff from the 80s. I mean,
well,
come on.
There you go. I'll be honest, I wasn't going to freshen anything. I just said that so that your listeners would think I'm freshening. It'll be fresh. It'll be new. I haven't been in Chicago in a while. I've been waiting for it to thaw out a bit, and now I'm ready.
Yeah, it's going to be beautiful here eventually. What we have now is a bit of a Noah's Ark situation with about 3 or 4 inches of rain in the past couple of days. So we got that for you. But we're going to dry it all out. We got 3.5 million people with blow dryers just to make sure it's all set for you Friday night.
That would be costly, I would think.
Well, it's the kind of thing we do for people we like.
Wow. Well, I am impressed and I'm grateful and I'm looking forward to a dry show.
Yes.
And now it's not just me. Just say, some of you say, "Oh, I'd like to go see comedy, but I need a little music in my act, in my entertainment menu."
Mm-hmm.
My friend Vance Gilbert, who is a terrific singer and songwriter, is going to be opening the show. He'll do a nice short set, then I'll come out and we'll have comedy. So you will have a full diet of entertainment.
Now, what if Vance is really, really good? It's one of those nights where he's really on. You're just going to tell him to stretch.
I have a long pole with a hook, and I yank him the heck off stage. I don't need him to be good. In fact, I push him towards moderate.
So he gets 15 moderate, and that's it.
He gets 25 moderate.
Oh, he does. Well, that's pretty good.
You know, 30 moderate's too many. 15 moderate just seems unfair to make him drive out to Chicago
right.
And do 7 seconds. So, no, he does about 25. He's great. He used to open for George Carlin for the last 7 or 8 years of George's touring. And it's just, we worked together once in New Jersey, and I said, well, this guy's great. And I use him whenever I can. Whenever he's free, I ask him to come out and work with me. So, he's going to be opening the show. Yeah, I love, you know, if I go to see a show, I like seeing something a little different beforehand.
Well, I feel like maybe you're not charging enough for the tickets then, because you're really providing double the entertainment.
Well, let me finish. Plus, we drive you home.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
So this is the new Palmer. You've heard of Uber. This is Palmer.
It's a nominal fee. Vance drives you, it's $7. If I drive you, it's $10, because let's be honest, I'm headlining. So, but still, we'll get you home, and that's got to be less than an Uber. You know, nobody lives right next to the North Shore. It's going to be a bit of a drive. So we're happy to provide it, you know, the service.
Have you done that theater?
I was there a few years back, about 5 years ago.
Good room. Good room.
Beautiful room. Nice crowd. Chicago's a great comedy crowd. And I'm looking forward.
And they love you here.
Why not?
Well, there's some things about you that aren't
terrible. You mentioned my show, There's Johnny. Did you watch it? Have
yes.
you seen it on Hulu?
Yeah. Here's the nut I am for Carson. I watch the Carson reruns on Antenna TV here. Every night at 9 o'clock around the country, they run Carson reruns.
Yes.
So you can see things like Paul Reiser's debut on The Tonight Show.
Yeah, that's about it. If you have nothing else to do, do that. But... it was, we did the show in collaboration with the Carson Company, so we had the keys to the vault.
Yep.
So we could go to any, I don't know if they're showing all the shows, but we had, I mean, if you can see all the shows online, but we had basically their site. So you punch in George Carlin, and here comes every time he was, or, you know, anybody you want. So the show takes place in 72, so we were just going through the 1972, early 73 shows. And I hadn't seen these shows since I'm, whatever that is, 15, 16. And it was bringing back such memories, and it's such a different time. And it was—I sound like such an old guy when I say this, but like before you had videos or VCRs, you had to stay up. And it's like hard to imagine that. Like people go, "Well, watch it tomorrow, watch it whenever I can."
Yep.
It's like, no, you got to stay up, which is part of why Johnny was so important. It's such a part of our life because we literally made an appointment each night, and so I was surprised at how. Well, I remembered these for having not
same
seen
here.
Them in 50 almost years.
Yeah, same here. And the weird part, too, is you're watching them, and there's, like, the guests come out, and they're smoking. And sometimes they have to lean over, and Carson will light their cigarette.
Yeah.
Just stuff you don't say.
Towards the end, you'd sometimes still see Johnny would smoke during the commercials when he couldn't smoke.
Right.
Then you'd see come back, you'd see smoke coming out of the desk a little bit.
right. Sandberg, say hi to Paul.
Oh, hey, Paul. Sorry.
Hello.
Hey, so
Did he just let you out of, were you like hidden in a closet? What happened there?
Yes. I like to be introduced midway through segments. I've been of the camp of I'm not the biggest reunion show person, and I've been.
I'm with you on that.
I know you are. I read a thing that you said that, and then I also thought a lot of these reboots, I'm like, can't we leave well enough alone? However, some very exciting news is happening of one of my favorite shows ever.
So you're excited about Mad About You coming
back. Oh, I am thrilled about this. And I think you've done a really nice job in the concept of, you know, 25 years later after we had the kid and, you know, where that's at.
Right, and the kid's in jail.
Well, that was the only reason that we were very, Helen Hunt and I were very clear and unshakable on we're never going to come back, because I, you know, you leave something alone, because sometimes things you kind of dampen or ruin the original in the audience's mind. But also from the guy who's going to be on the camera, when you see people come back, the whole purpose is, oh geez, look how old they got. Oh boy, he put on weight. Sure. Oh, she looks horrible. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't want to be a little circus monkey where people just go, whoo, he let himself go. But we actually did do everything we wanted. We were very, you know, I was very proud of the fact we ended the show when we wanted, the way we wanted.
Yep.
We literally did every storyline that we ever wanted to do. So it was the perfect time to be done and wrap it up. In fact, we even did the finale, which showed the future, so that we would answer the questions. The audience would never have to say what happened after that. But what happened, the conversation started because everybody was asked, was all these reboots, and hey, would you guys want to do it? So Helen and I have lunch periodically, like every couple of months. And we're having lunch two summers ago. And, you know, we kind of jokingly said, I have much to do this year, we should do that. And we both looked like, would you? I don't want. Would you? We both kind of went, but why? Why would we? And then we started talking about it, and then we realized my younger son, I have two boys. My youngest son just went off to college this past year. So August, he started back east in New York. And I had always heard that cliche, oh, the empty nest and whatever. I don't know what it means. And then suddenly,
you do now.
I went, oh, I get it. Because it's not just you miss the kid. The house is quiet.
The life changes.
Life changes. It shines the light back on your marriage, because now it's the two of you. But it's different because you've been spending the last 18 years all talking about getting this kid out the house, getting his homework done, getting, you know, it's all about the kids. When you take them out, it's not only about you, but what tickled us and excited us and made us realize we wanted to do the show, or would take a whack at trying to do the show, is that it absolutely mirrored where we were 25 years ago when the show started. Right, the show started was the idea was, hey, as soon as the wedding and all the celebration settles down, it's just the two of you idiots in a room, and forever. Oh, how's that going to work out? It's not going to be that easy. And so we thought, oh, that's exactly how it feels again. But you're older, and you don't have the same drive and the same dreams and the same aspirations. So do you want to make this thing work or not? Like, I don't know. Let's see. Let's write some comedy.
It's a cool idea. It really is.
I, for one, am so excited to see what they decide to do with Helen Hunt wardrobing, because she was kind of set at that time. That was like a big gap. Chinos in her big shirt, you know, that was a look, and it's coming back, and now she's in that like Chico's group era where they would shop at Chico's.
You know, you're speaking feeling, our language.
I don't know the specifics, but I have a feeling that both Helen's character and my character are going to dress exactly the way Helen and I dress.
Okay.
Just so we don't have to go look at anything. Go, yeah, I'm just going to show up.
Okay.
And roll the cameras.
By the way, for you kids trying to pitch your show to any platform now, I believe I'm right about this. Paul, correct me if I'm wrong. The greatest pitch I've ever heard for a show. You guys know what an elevator pitch is? Elevator pitches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the ride of an elevator, you got to tell me what your show is. And the pitch I heard that you guys made.
That's an annoying elevator ride, by the way.
It really is. Yeah. Imagine the elevators in Hollywood.
Yeah. You want what you do, by the way, advice to the kids, pick a company on a high floor.
That's exactly right.
You get a longer shot.
Unless you do this pitch. What's mad about you? It's the ride home from the party. It's the couple in the car on the ride home. It's the greatest pitch I've ever heard. No, I'm serious, because everybody has that conversation, and that's what the show was.
Yeah, that's funny. We had everybody knows that feeling, like you put on a certain public face when you're at a party or whatever.
Right.
As soon as the car door closes, one of you's gonna go. Either you're gonna go, what a jerk that guy is.
Right.
Or you're going to go, why would you say that to them? You know they don't.
Right.
I didn't say it. But you applied, and boom, you're off. And so that was our show. When you close that door to the apartment, it's like, appreciates you guys.
I love it.
So anyways, we're looking for. We just started literally yesterday. We had our first meeting with the writers. We have about four terrific writers, and Peter Tolan is our head writer. And
wow,
he created,
cool.
You know, Peter Tolan wrote the Larry Sanders Show, and he
sure.
created Rescue Me, and great, great guy, and a great writer. So we're excited, but to be honest, that's the hard stuff. The fun stuff for me is when I get on the weekends to go out
sure.
and do some stand-up. So I'm very much looking forward, to be honest. It's been a couple of weeks since I've been out and on the road, and I'm happy to be coming there. So I think it actually almost sold out. I was very tickled to see.
Yeah, all that's left is obstructed view. Single seats and obstructed view, but it's worth it.
And listen, if it turns out it all sold out and two people need tickets, you guys can't come. I hate to break it to you. All right?
I understand. Listen, you got to take care of the
fans. Backstage, but then you got to go because these people are real paying customers.
Completely get it. By the way, Paul, during the course of this interview, Paul was just signed to do 60 Minutes, and he's also training for rhythmic gymnastics in the next Summer Games. So I think you're going to be great at both of those, too.
You know what? I'm going to give it a shot. Dancing with the Stars I'm up for, and and some sort of cooking show, because a man has to eat.
He makes James Brown look lazy. Paul Reiser.
What a lazy guy he was. You know what? I do a thing now. I'm going to try to do a thing now on my show, a la James Brown. I'm just going to have my opening act, towards the end of my set, have the opening act guy come out with a cape. Throw a cape on me.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I got more jokes.
Oh, it's perfect.
You can't get me off.
Yeah, listen.
So to speak.
And how many times has a nice Jewish man dropped to his knee and someone threw a cape over his back? Come on.
You know what? Not since Superman's Bar Mitzvah has that happened. By the way, that was some affair, let me tell you.
Yeah.
That was special.
I hope you appreciate the setup. The North Shore Center for the Performing Arts in Skokie. It's, isn't Saturday night the 3rd?
No.
It's Friday.
You said it wrong at first, but Paul corrected
don't
you.
Confuse
yeah.
me.
It's Friday. It's Friday.
It's Friday.
Friday.
It's Friday. The day after tomorrow. What day would that
the
be?
Third.
The 3rd.
Yeah,
because
I'm good Friday. I'm not good Saturday. Saturday, I got a thing. But Friday, no thanks.
I'll see you Friday.
All right,
everybody
thanks.
Else, I'll see you there, too.
Appreciate
right,
you coming.
Thank you much.
See you later. That's Paul Reiser.
He's so funny.
Good dude. Friday, May 3rd. Isn't that the greatest pitch for a show? Because
mm-hmm.
you get it right away. Everybody gets in the car and starts complaining or observing about the party you're just at or fighting.
Yeah.
So people are asking if the original cast is coming back for the reboot of Mad About You. Yes, many of them. Don't have the names. We know Paul Reiser and Helen Hunt will be there. We also know the phrase from the producers are many of the original cast. So we'll see. I think the guy that played Paul's dad, I think, died. But it makes sense. He was an older fella. But we'll see. And if he's not dead, I apologize. It's 9:01. We're back with the news next in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, where Steve is.
I got it. I'm patched in.
All right, let me hear it.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
We're locked. Systems check out. Signal across the board. What's the frequency?
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It is 9:13. If you listen to the show with any regularity, you know how we feel about kids and kids in need, kids in need. And Let It Be Us is a wonderful organization promoting foster parenting, finding more parents to take more kids who need love and need a family. Joining us to talk about that in an upcoming event is State Senator Dan McConkie. And let's see if I can do this without hanging up on him. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
Good. Good to be with you.
Thanks for being on. How did you connect with Let It Be Us?
So they're actually based in my district. I'm up in the northwest suburbs, and they came in and just said, hey, you know, we have a need. We want somebody to really be a champion for foster kids and kids who need adoption who are in the state system. We've got a lot of issues right now, 18,000 kids across the state of Illinois who are waiting for foster parents, who are waiting to be placed. It's a big need. There's always a need for more parents. And they said, hey, would you be a champion of that in Springfield? And I was, you know, absolutely really privileged to be able to partner with them.
We need to locate and license more parents as fast as possible. And we're not talking about people that just go, okay, I'll do it. People who are willing to make this commitment. And by the way, including respite care, which my son and daughter-in-law have done, Abigail's parents, on more than one occasion, where you give a foster family, you know, a break of a week or whatever, well, you care for the child that's been in their care so they can take care of whatever they need to take care of. It's an important connection and network. And Senator McConkie, I appreciate the fact that you're involved with it.
You know, it's something that often happens, but you know, below the radar. A lot of people don't necessarily see or know about these kids who have a need. And it's not until you really kind of step out there and are willing to put yourself out and say, hey, if there is a need, you know, that you really realize kind of how much need there is. I have some friends who had three children of their own, three biological children, and they got a call from one day saying, hey, that they had two little kids. I believe the ages were like 1 and 3, and they were looking for foster parents, and if they didn't get them within so many days, they were going to end up going into the system in a way that would, you know, probably be detrimental to the kids' development going forward. And over a weekend, my friend went and she said, you know, let me see if I can find somebody who'd be interested. At the end of the weekend, she didn't, and she went to her husband and said, you know, what about us doing that? And this was not something that was on their radar, but it was once they had seen a need that was right there in front of them, they kind of realized, hey, you know, this is something that we can do, that we can give back with. They've since adopted those children, and so now they've got 5 kids between the ages of, like, I think, 3 and 18 now. It sure is, it can be a challenge on some days, but their lives are immensely fulfilled, and those kids are on a track to being able to be a success where, you know, who knows where they would have been otherwise.
You're talking about where they might end up. I know on the Let It Be Us website, the stat of 48% of the girls who grew up in foster care become pregnant. And at 18, they are then out of the system with nothing. No guidance or anything, you know, taking care of them, whatever. It's like, it's actually this, you know, we talk about declaring disasters and things like that. These kids having nowhere to go is of that level, don't you think, Steve?
They're a sociological disaster.
Yeah.
Societal train wreck that we don't have to have.
Yeah.
Let It Be Us does an amazing job of saying, listen, we want quality families who are willing to give some love to these kids, whether it be short-term respite care or even better yet, adoption. And they do some great work at Let It Be Us to help, you know, connect those two things. It's kind of a cool concept, Senator.
Yeah, you know, last week what I did, I took a group of high school students from my district up to the Lake County Courthouse, and we were going through some things, learning about the legislative process and so forth. But I have a couple of friends who are judges up there who came in and talked to the kids. One of the judges ran drug court, and the other one is a felony court judge. And so the judge that runs drug court kind of went through that process. What does she do to really try to provide restitution? And the felony court judge came in later who helped create drug court about 15 years ago, and he said, you know what the two things are that drive people to go out and commit crimes? Well, the kids got the first one right off, drugs, right? And when you are alone, when you don't have a family network, drugs can be, you end up, you know, seeking companionship, seeking a family where you can find it, and it may not be with people who necessarily have your best interests in mind. He said that the second thing that is the biggest driver of crime is education. He said, sure, your MDs, your PhDs, they commit crimes, but not nearly at the percentage level of people who only have a high school education or not even that. And family, at the end of the day, is what helps get kids through that, right? You know, sometimes we all know kids who maybe didn't want to finish high school, or they did. They didn't want to go to college, but they did so because they had a parent or a foster parent or an uncle or somebody who took an interest in their life and said, hey, you really need to go to school. Your life will be better off for it. And as a result, put them on a path to success. Not only is that good for that child, it's good for all of us when somebody becomes a productive member of society in that way. And family is really a linchpin for that.
There's an event coming up that we want to alert people to. And I don't have the note in front of me. Do
it
you
is,
it?
Yeah, it's Saturday, May 4th in Libertyville, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. It's a, what do they call it? An adoption and foster care information session. So you can go. I know that's what Ross and Lauren attended one of those, and that's what got
that's
them.
That's what got them fired up and got them licensed shortly thereafter with
it's
Let It Be Us.
Libertyville Civic Center. If you go to letitbeus.org, and it's also posted in our
segment. A fine website. And I think Ross is coming on tomorrow.
Friday
to talk more about this. But that is, again, Saturday morning, you said, 10 to noon?
Saturday morning, 10 to noon in Libertyville, at the Libertyville Civic Center.
Is that your district, too, Senator?
Yeah, it is. You know, the interesting thing about this event is it's a I went around and I got every senator, both Democrat and Republican, as well as both our Democrat sheriff and our Republican state's attorney. They're all co-sponsoring this. This is something that everybody sees the value of, recognizes the immediate need that we have now, and we're thrilled to be able to be approached by this group and promote it amongst their own constituents. So I think we're going to have a good crowd, and it's hopefully going to make a dent in these 18,000 kids that are currently out there waiting to be have somebody take an interest in them.
Well, I can guarantee you'll be much more impressed with my son than you will be with me after this interview is over. But I look forward to the two of you getting together then and as well. And just thank you again for the work you're doing here and the people of the 26th who you represent. Keep up the work for them.
Thank you very much. You know, look forward to it, and look forward to meeting a lot of your listeners coming up on Saturday.
All right, thanks. And again, Sandberg, where do they go? What do they do?
They're on Saturday, 10 to noon at the Libertyville Civic Center is an information session. And you go to letitbeus.org, but it's also going to be posted on our website as well. And there's a texter asking about age limit. And I believe when they were in last time, I could be wrong, I can't find it on the website, that there was not an age limit. If you're, you know, able to take care of yourself and share love.
Oh, as far as adopting?
Being a foster, or a foster, you know, parent.
They don't discriminate.
Yeah, they don't. If you love kids and you want to make a difference, you're eligible.
There's almost no cases where if you're ready, willing, and able, they would say no. I can't imagine a case where they would. But the best way to do get more information is to hit the website or go to this event on Saturday. 9:21. Thank you for that. Well, we got to talk about Maddie when we come back.
Yes,
that's a very important story.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
The Attorney General Bill Barr is in the Senate now, and questioning has begun in quotes, because when you go through a congressional hearing, it's basically Republicans and Democrats being blowhards and asking you questions, which you don't necessarily get to answer. Now, I'm not in the least bit defending Bill Barr, by all accounts, based on the Mueller letter and story that's broken in the last 12 to 24 hours. Barr lied under oath, and Barr is Donald Trump's caddy, and you can't have it. He's the Attorney General, the highest lawman in the land for the people of this country, not the President of the United States. Though I have to say, I'm fascinated on what his motive would be. In what world would your idea be, you know, it'd be cool if I could be Donald Trump's guy? I don't even understand how that makes sense. He had a good reputation, which has essentially been flushed. And, you know, the whole thing's a mess. And the Band-Aid has been ripped off the Mueller report wound one more time. Pat Brady will join us in a few minutes to talk about that. And we'll get Pat's assessment of it, because I believe he is monitoring it right now. More important and of a more urgent nature is young Maddie. Remind people who Maddie is.
Maddie Bertrand, and that's M-A-D-D-I, in case you're looking her up, was a young lady we had in studio, I don't know, was that 2 years ago?
Was that long ago?
It was. It was in studio, and she was with a group of other teens that were petitioning to have get some rules with smoking outside and things like that. She is,
didn't they want the smoking age to go to 21?
Yes, they were a part of that as well.
Okay.
And they, she is, was at the time on the list for a double lung transplant.
This beautiful girl, she comes in here and she was on oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, could not have had a better attitude.
Right.
Clearly wasn't feeling strong.
Mm-hmm.
And all of her friends were great. And you just heart aches for it. Just
right.
Go, why would this kid be going through this? He should be the best years of her life.
Right. And so she has been on the list for 15 months, and we all donated to her GoFundMe page. And so we got an update yesterday that she is still waiting, and her health is declining quickly. And she's been at Lurie's since February, and so she needs this double lung transplant. And I know,
so she's impatient now,
waiting, and she needs our prayers, our thoughts, our support. And you can go to her GoFundMe and donate money, but really encourage people to, we just talked about this with Monday with Doc Most, donate your organs, because she needs a double lung transplant. And that's, we were talking about how difficult that is, because you can't just have one, you know, she needs both. And it's sad to think that there's probably good lungs. You know, people die every day, and there's lungs out there that could be a match for her, but are
vast
missing
majority
out because they weren't donated. So
And this is
so important.
This is the greatness of what social media can be, because you take Maddie Bertrand's information and you send it out to your network, and everybody in your network sends it out to their network. And who knows? Miracles can happen. But this kid needs our help and needs it now.
She needs it now. And so I'm going to share it on our Facebook page, because with the GoFundMe, that's the best way to share those. So if you could, at the very least, our listeners, share that.
Spread it.
Spread the news and get people donating their organs, because Maddie, who is a lovely young lady, needs them.
Yeah, and she's got a lot of life left to live, and we want to help her get there. So you could... get that information where again?
The Steve Cochran Show Facebook page and the WGN Radio Facebook page.
All right. As I said, Pat Brady on the bar testimony going on right now in the Senate, and some other thoughts on whether or not he'll actually show up for his House testimony tomorrow. Hey, when is Meghan Markle's baby going to be born? It's like any minute now, right?
Yes, they're on baby watch, but they're not going to let us know. It's a secret.
That she's pregnant?
She could have already had
that kid. Yeah, she could have, yeah. No, they're not going to announce, they're not going to do that thing where she comes out on the stairs and stands there.
No. She might be having the baby at the Frogmire. At the Frogmire. Frogmore.
I like the Frogmire.
What's the Frogmore?
The Frogmore Cottage where they live, which is really not a cottage, but yeah.
Right. It's like the Donald Jr. starter home. Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's not going to. They're going to announce the baby like after the baby is born. And
in college?
And, yeah. So we're doing a little different.
That's why the kid could already be here.
You're right, Mayor.
Because it was the end of April, wasn't it?
It was. That was the due date. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, today's the first day of May.
But you know, it's unpredictable when the first baby, especially. You don't know.
Can we text Paul Coit and tell him to be on stand? The problem with having Paul Coit on standby is usually I tell him what's going on in his country. Mm-hmm. So, but he would be good to have on standby.
He should be hiding in the bushes of Frogmore.
Is it really called Frogmore?
I want to call it Frogmire again.
Isn't
there.
It Frogmore? I was corrected. I think I called Frogmire once and somebody yelled at me.
So Frogmore is the name of the estate?
Yes.
Yeah, the Brits. Kooky. It's 9:30. We'll come back with your headlines in a moment on 720 WGN.
Listen to Pat Brady.
Anybody else notice that as time has gone on, John's songs have gotten better? And my song
perfect.
Was first.
Oh, did you have one?
Yeah.
No, you have.
I have two.
Your newest one is the best one ever.
It is good.
One Shining Moment.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
That includes a throat clear.
You guys making fun of me.
Dave Ennett doing play-by-play on your, where was he going
Pat Brady,
with that one?
Pat Brady's song's pretty good.
Yeah, it is good.
So
is
Dave Ennett's Sports. I like that one, too.
Pat, wouldn't you agree that your appearance on the show is not as good as your song?
It's always disappointing, and I hear from a lot of Republicans that feel that every time I open my mouth.
The Republican earlier this week who tried to throw you under the bus, I didn't even know she was still working.
Yeah, she, Jeannie Ives, I think Jeannie has, like, angry days, but she's angry all the time, and Mondays be angry at Pat Brady Day, so she called me a traitor because I contributed to Senator Durbin, who I actually think is a pretty good senator.
Right.
So I guess she went around screaming, I'm a traitor. But, you know, I'm just not that angry. I don't know.
I think the best way to get anywhere in this country is to only pick people on your team, regardless of what your team's up to. Speaking of that, if anyone can identify what a Republican looks like anymore, please get me the dental records because I don't. I don't know. One of them is on Capitol Hill right now talking to the Senate Judiciary Committee, and it's Bill Barr. So let's back this up to yesterday. The story breaks that Bob Mueller was very upset with Bill Barr about the way Barr characterized his committee's 2 years' worth of work on the famous Mueller report with a four-page letter, which Mueller said in the letter that he wrote back to Barr and the ensuing phone call did not represent his views, confused the public through confusing reports in the media, and did a disservice to the work they did. That was yesterday. Barr, according to the timeline, even under oath, misstated the truth in regards to conversations he'd already had with Mueller. So you've been monitoring this. We're still basically in opening statements, which tells you everything you need to know about a Congress hearing or a congressional hearing. But what are we missing while the hearing's going on, and what do you make of what's happened?
Well, clearly, and I said this 2 weeks ago, the Attorney General, to summarize that letter, he lied to the public about the contents of the Mueller report. I'm not saying it's a political statement, Democrat, Republican, but clearly the Attorney General lied about what was in the report when he did his press conference. And he might have, although I think there's more wiggle room on this, his answers to Congress about his contacts with Bob Mueller were less than forthright, I would say. So, I mean, he has some problems, but the point is, the question I hope somebody asks in the course of this hearing today is, okay, if you did all this, clearly you did you talk to the White House? Did they help you do this? Did they help you craft these statements? Did the president ask you to do this? That, to me, is the most important question.
So what, I'm fascinated by the motive, because we get so caught up all the time in this just happened. What does it mean that this just happened? Well, behavior is what determines how people act and how they behave, and there's a motivation for behavior. What's the motivation for a guy who had a good reputation, was generally well thought of, to throw it all under the bus now?
I really don't know, and I'm not sure if anybody can answer that question, but I do think there's a war now between Mueller and Barr, even though they're friends, been lifelong, we're longtime friends. I just listened to the beginning of Attorney General Barr's opening statement. He basically dumped on Mueller for not making a conclusion on the obstruction piece. But another thing to think about in his motivation, he is a guy that sincerely believes, is kind of the far right wing of the constitutional conservatives, to believe that the executive has very, very broad powers, and that the president was probably within his right to do what he did insofar as obstruction of justice. But I've read the whole report. When you're tampering with witnesses, offering inducements to witnesses that wink and nod, we'll give you, like, to Manafort, we'll give you a pardon, or asking Katie McFarland to put a fraudulent document in the file, that is open and shut case of obstruction, which in this case wasn't charged because Bob Mueller said, hey, I'm not going to invoke a constitutional crisis or go against Department of Justice guidelines. We're just going to leave this up to Congress.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of explanations in the last 24 hours as well, and a lot of, again, diversions and things. The Fox News reporting that what Barr or what Mueller was upset about was the media's reporting on this story is an absolute
flat out lie.
It's just a complete lie.
Flat out lie. And Lindsey Graham repeated it this morning. Lindsey Graham gave a very compelling opening, but that is just a flat out lie. Kellyanne Conway, everything she said on the day of the press conference, a flat out lie.
You got something?
Yeah, the Attorney General has just addressed that, in fact. And if I'm sorry, I thought I had it in front of me. Steve, give me a second, and I can play you what he said about the media. Give me 30 seconds.
All right, no problem. And as we continue, Pat, the other things I want to bring up to you is this policy, which kept Mueller from moving forward because the Justice Department's policy has never been tested in court, that a sitting president couldn't be indicted. Policy isn't law. Policy is something we do, so I think it is a fair question to ask why Mueller didn't think it was worth challenging, and what your explanation is of that. And then secondarily, will Mueller appear before the House or the Senate, and how soon? Steve, you got it? Oh, Steve's still looking.
Yeah, I have it for you. I'm sorry, Steve, about that. Do you want to hear from Barr what he
said? Yeah.
So he said he got the letter, and he said the next day he called Mueller to talk about what the dispute was.
And I called Bob and said, you know, what's the issue here? And I asked him if he was suggesting that the March 24th letter was inaccurate. And he said no, but that the press reporting had been inaccurate and that the press was reading too much into it. And I asked him, you know, specifically what his concern was. And he said that his concern focused on his explanation of why he did not reach a conclusion on obstruction.
So that's Barr's account, and he said Mueller went on to say, Barr says that Mueller did not reach the conclusion about not going after obstruction of justice only because of the Justice Department guidelines. He said there were other factors as well.
But he didn't say what the factors were.
It's going on, Steve. I'm assuming he'll be questioned about that.
All right, thanks for that. Let me get back to Pat Brady here, and now you've got to hear from Mueller even more, because based on what we just heard there, Pat, Barr said he did say it was just the confusing media reports, and you've got to clear that up, Bill Barr. So, I mean, Mueller's got to respond to that.
Yeah, here's the thing. If you go back and read the letter, and I stand by what I said before. If Bob Mueller gets up and says just what Bill Barr said, I'm wrong and I apologize. But if you read the letter, that's not at all what he's saying. He had it in nice legalese terms, basically like, you're lying about what's in this report.
Right.
You're misstating it. So, and if he clears that up, then I'm wrong. But the reality is, anyway, what Bill Barr did on that press conference today is mislead the American public. Onto the policy thing, he did, in the report, he clearly states part of his consideration was the Office of Legal Counsel guidelines to not do this. But the bigger consideration was, if we get into a crisis, we can't indict a president. It's unfair to write a report saying he's done something wrong without giving him an opportunity to go to trial. So he was way up in the clouds, and I think rightfully so, on saying, hey, this could invoke such a constitutional crisis. He didn't say it that way, but I'd rather just have it go through the political process. You know, we have an election in 18 months.
Yeah, and the part I'm still confused about, though, is because of what was at stake here, at some point that policy, unfortunately, will have to be tested. If not now, when?
Well, there's another point, too, that they decided not to test that policy, not the charging decision, but whether or not you could actually subpoena the president to testify. And that would be challenged in the court and could probably go to the Supreme Court. And that was another kind of point of restraint for Mueller. But I don't have a problem necessarily with that constitutional argument. And it was briefed and argued in the Watergate case, but they never ruled on it. It's just an open question of our Constitution. And Barr right now is dumping all over Mueller for not making a decision, which I actually think was the right decision. And these issues, highbrow legal issues, we can address at a later day. The point is, to me, the big point is the Attorney General of the United States misled the American public as to the contents of this report.
And now he's misleading them in regards to what Mueller said in writing, and even potentially in the phone call, which obviously we don't believe there's tape of or would ever be admissible. All right, we'll pick this up tomorrow when you join me, right?
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. That's Pat Brady.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, you can tell the testimony of Bill Barr at the Senate is not going well because he just replied to a Democratic senator, I know you are, but what am I? You know, that's not getting us anywhere.
That's so juvenile.
Yeah, it's not helping. Not helping at all. What are we plugging on the show tomorrow, Samber?
Well, we've got a jam-packed show. Chuck Todd is returning after his two-week vacation or whatever he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Olchek at 6:50. Talking
on the Kentucky
ponies.
Derby. Yeah.
Lori Lightfoot, mayor-elect, at 7:10.
Okay.
Newt Gingrich and his new book at 7:50.
Oh, I bet Newt and I will have a nice talk.
Yeah.
And also Howard Sudbury?
Yeah, at 8:40. He's mm-hmm. going to be talking some more ponies in Arlington.
And he's going to bring us half a bottle of booze, and he'll take the rest home.
Yeah. Mark Doyle is bringing some people in. Anna DeVlantis will be in, and Ed Farmer. So.
And we want to talk to Mark Doyle about Vice President Biden, who he's known forever. So, and Vice President Biden continues to lead the 2020 discussions on the Dem side. We're waiting also on Meghan Markle's baby to be born. Well, I guess it's Prince Harry's as well. Yeah. And
I think they're generically calling it the royal baby because all babies that come out of there are royal.
Come out of where?
Yeah,
the country of England.
Frogmire.
You know it will be. It will be an American baby too.
That's true.
Oh, because she's American.
Yes. Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Hello.
How are you? Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
you're doing
the impression of the royal baby.
Oh, that was the baby.
Gaga.
It's 9:56. We'll come back with Bill and Wendy in a second on 720 WGN. Let's try to come up with a name for the royal baby. I don't know if Bill or Wendy, if you guys have any ideas, but tell me what you think of these because we don't know if it's a boy or a girl. Mm-hmm. So here's what I have so far.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Bob.
That's a good name.
Buster.
Solid.
Buck.
Yep.
Cluster.
Cluster. Really?
Bertha.
I like Bertha.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, Bertha.
Bertha, Ethel, or hashtag. Those are the other ones.
Oh, those are solid names.
You got anything?
Randy.
Randy?
Yeah.
That actually go either
sounds
way.
Prince Randy.
Sounds sort of British and wrong.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Kind of
the right
done.
Combination of British
there
and wrong.
Several of those.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Wendy, got an idea on a name?
Trixie.
Trixie.
Solid name.
Trixie.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, give it a fun time for Trixie.
Well, there's a Princess Beatrix who could have been nicknamed Trixie.
That's her name?
Yeah.
I thought that was like a breakfast powder they mixed with tea or something.
No.
Try the Beatrix.
No, it's a name.
I thought it was a fiber supplement.
Uh-uh.
So wrong about things. What are you guys doing?
Rick Rann will be on with us. He's an expert on the World's Fair. We've had him on several times before.
They still have a World's Fair?
They have the memorabilia, and there's a big show that you can
buy.
But
is there
a
World's Fair anymore?
I don't know that they still do.
I mean, did they send like the best carnies to the World's Fair? You can't get to the World's Fair unless you're really super at it.
I will ask Rick Rann that exact question, Steve.
I think that's your lead.
Question one.
Isn't Epcot basically a permanent World's Fair?
Sort of a World's Fair, yeah.
Look at you being all smart.
Yeah. And the food court at Orland Square.
Both of those.
That's similar.
Well, that's good. Can you top it, or is that...
Well, Dr. John Duffy and Carmelo Chimera is on the show today.
That's the power forward from the Knicks?
No. Comic Book Day is coming up.
Oh.
I love comic books.
Hmm?
Do you really?
Hmm?
Yeah. I like Archie and Little Jinx.
How about Jughead? You like Jughead?
He's okay. He adds to the fun.
Put that down on the Prince Princess list name.
Jughead?
Prince Jughead.
Well, he wore a crown, too.
He did wear a crown hat.
Kind of works.
Yeah.
Bill and Wendy, right now. We'll see you tomorrow.